Thanks for listening to this message from Kingdom Life Church and Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit our website, klcmaine.com.
You guys enjoyed Tim last week. Such a good word. He'll be sharing again next week, and keep me in your prayers. I'll be in Calgary speaking at a conference on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this coming week, and expecting God to do a lot of things. It's an annual conference that they have, and some of the Bethel Music guys will be there. It'll be a fun weekend, but expecting the Lord to do a lot. I actually wanted to, darn weather, so hopefully this translates through the camera for those that are live streaming. I actually want to do something and encourage something that we have not done. Tim has done it multiple times. We actually used to have a joke where every time, I stopped letting him preach because every time we'd preach, he'd call the church to a fast. And I literally was like, dude, I'm not letting you preach anymore because every time you preach, you call the church to a fast. And I don't know about you, but I'm more into feasting than fasting. Anybody? We've kind of been on an interesting journey, and I'll be honest, I'm a little like, has anybody ever been in a season where God is moving and saying and speaking to a point where you don't know what's going on, but you feel a little intimidated by it? Anybody? I'm kind of in one of those seasons right now because it's completely out of my control, but I feel like the Lord has been speaking a lot. And how many of you guys know that in Amos 1:7, he says, God doesn't do anything without first revealing it to his prophets. And when God starts speaking, we know that he's going to do what he says, right? And the intimidating part is, but we don't know how. And we don't know what our role is in the whole process. But 13 years ago, I did a 40-day fast, and I left everything. I quit my job, and I went down to Boston for a season of 40 days with Lou Engel, who just led the Send, from March 1st to April 9th. I don't have time to share all the stories, but it was all culminated to, like, actually our connection with Colby College was connected to all that. And the Lord did some things in my life where I am still living in some of the fruit of that season that I set myself to fast and pray. And I don't want to give you all the details, but one night during those, about 9 days into the fast, I had a dream. And in the dream, the Lord visited me and told me to begin to pray Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will become apostolic witnesses to the ends of the earth. Which means that you will become a witness with authority and power of Jesus Christ when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I don't know about you, but when the Holy Spirit comes on me, I want to go out in power to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to govern cities and nations of the earth like an apostle. And I began to pray that, and it became like the assignment of my life to pray that. That 40-day fast turned into, I came home and I couldn't stop fasting. I ended up fasting for 6 months. And during that season of fasting, it became this like assignment of my life to pray Acts 1:8. And I prayed that, and the Lord visited me very, very dearly during that season. As I said, I'm still bearing much of the fruit from that season of your life. Let me just encourage you that short seasons where you feel the Lord call you to consecrate a devotion, you can do more in that season for your life than you can in years of mediocrity. And I want to encourage you in the idea and the concept of seasons of extreme devotion and consecration, because it will yield fruit for your life for decades. But I've kind of forgotten about that season until recently. I got a phone call from somebody I haven't talked to in months, probably since the holidays. And it's a family member of mine who is, I don't know if you guys have anybody in your life like this, but when they get a word from the Lord, especially when you have not been having regular contact with them and they don't really know anything about the story of your life and they have a prophetic word, you're listening, right? This is somebody who's always weirdly been in my life to give me a prophetic word that is timely in nature and was like profound in impact. And it's always been spot on and started seasons of my life. And she contacted me the other day, and she said, I don't know what verse this is, but I woke up from the audible voice of the Lord in the middle of the night last night, and I kept hearing the voice of the Lord saying, Acts 1:8, Acts 1:8, Acts 1:8, and I saw your face. And the Lord actually goes, I don't know what that means to you. I don't know what that's about, but there it is. There's the word. And it immediately, like, I went back and started reading my journals about praying in that season, and it just, like, struck something. And repeatedly over the past few weeks, I've been having people, like, saying there's a coming move of the Holy Spirit in Kingdom Life Church. There's a coming move of the glory. There's a great awakening coming. We had Linda Brink here, who is a, you know, is a daughter of this house and was a, such a significant leader here. And she came with a powerful prophetic word about a coming move of the Holy Spirit. And I've been having person after person, it's been having dreams and visions. And how many of us know when God's saying, you should listen? When he's speaking, you should go, you, there should be some trepidation. Like, okay, what does that look like? And when we were watching the send on yesterday, I was asking the Lord, Lord, what is this whole Acts 1:8 thing about? And Lou Engel got up and he says, I'm calling a 40-day Jesus fast for the whole nation. And within 1 hour, over 20,000 people pledged to do this 40-day fast all over the country. And he announced the dates as March 1st to April 9th, which are the exact dates that I did the 40-day fast praying for the apostolic witness over that season. And I feel like that we're coming into an extraordinary moment. How many of us know when there's prophetic moments, they are not open from now to whenever you get around to it? Bob Jones said when he said that a casual response to a prophetic word produces casualties. And when God is saying it demands a response from us saying, okay, like I want to take this word seriously and devote myself for a season to see what you have for us in that season. And I really do believe that there's something connected to this. And I realize that literally maybe five of you might feel the grace of the Lord to enter into a fast. But I want to actually invite our whole church community, those that are online, I want to invite you onto a fast starting in March 1st, ending on April 9th. And I want to invite you for a season to fast with us. I know Tim and I, we're both definitely doing it. And here's the beautiful thing. We're in the new covenant, right? And so that means that you can fast in whatever way you feel the Lord Jesus calls you to fast. I'm not calling for a specific kind of fast. We're not going to be legalistic about it. If you want to fast social media for 40 days, yay, you'll be better for it. The Lord doesn't visit you, you will become a better person still. If you want to fast entertainment, TV for 40 days, you could do that. If you have a dietary issue, you can do many other things in your life that you can fast. I know for me, I'm going to partially start off with a Daniel fast, which is just no meats, no sweets. And I'm going to lead my way probably to a water or juice fast during the season. And so whatever it looks like for you, I want to invite you to it. How many of us know that fasting is not about legalism? It is not about suffering. It's about denying parts of ourselves so that we can devote it to the presence of Jesus for a season. And it's not about what you're not doing. It's about what you are doing. It's not, I don't want you just to not eat and go, where are you, Lord? I want to encourage you to like, to deny some things in your life that are distractions or pleasures of this life and replace it with a new measure of devotion to the word and to prayer and to make space for the Lord like you haven't in a while. Like getting up at an earlier time in the morning, that's what fasting is. It's not just denying. And so I want to encourage you, we are going to be doing a corporate fast and join with a global fast starting on March 1st going to April 9th. So I want to ask you, don't do it just because I'm telling you to. Ask the Lord if you're supposed to enter in with us or what that may look like. Is that all right? Okay. And if none of you do it, I will do it for you and invite the Holy Spirit on your life. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Psalm 68. Are you guys okay? Okay. Let's quickly pray. And I'm really excited to dig into the third part of our worship series. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We honor your word this morning. God, we thank you for your grace, God, to understand and gain revelation from your word. Father, we've read the words, but God, we ask you this morning for revelation, for a great unveiling, God, in our life, that you would reveal deep mysteries and secrets to our heart. God, we ask you to break in and move on our lives this morning through your word, that you'd open our eyes to see and open our ears to hear, that we would hear the things that aren't even being said, that you're whispering to our heart this morning. Help us to apply it, understand it, digest it, and not only that, but then to begin to walk in it in a new and fresh way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Psalm 68. We've been on this worship journey together for a couple weeks. And the whole idea is that I want to get out of the routine of doing worship services, and I want to see a worship movement come out of Kingdom Life Church. I don't want to just be church parishioners that know how to lift our hands to songs. I want to be David's in the field with the harp, ministering to the Lord when nobody is looking, and then walking in the authority of kings. You know, I want to see a people that know how to enter in because they've been practicing when no one is looking. You know, there will be public displays of promotion and power and authority and breakthrough that come on your life at different seasons and times, but your public promotions will be determined by your private devotions. And there will be moments where God uses you as a name and a face to deliver a message and to bring breakthrough. But it's going to be because you fought for something in the private place. And I do believe that there will be extraordinary corporate movements of the Holy Spirit in worship. I believe that there are some in the room that will fight for places in his presence. And it will show up in the corporate place that even those that didn't fight will get apprehended by it. I believe there will be worship service that don't end. I do believe, but it won't be because it was a sudden timing in the timeline of eternity that we just happened to fall on. Today just happened to be the day that the Lord chooses. I believe it will be because there was a people that knows how to enter in. And the moment that a chord is struck, that they know how to enter into the heart of the Lord because they have been learning the way of worship every day of their life. And we've been on this little journey. I'll give you a quick recap. Last week, Tim talked about having a sensitive heart, having a soft heart that is impressionable to the movement of the Holy Spirit, that in moments of need, that it actually turns to the Lord and to nothing else. And it's something that we have to devote ourselves to, asking the Lord and inviting our lives, God, give me a soft heart. Give me a heart that's impressionable to your Spirit. The week before that, I talked about understanding how our identity is grafted into worship. And in the first week, I talked about the Davidic, the identity of the Davidic heart, which is here you have David, who would rather be a priest in the presence of the Lord than a king in the presence of people. The guy who stripped off his kingly garments and the crowd of people was worship the audience of one. The presence of the Lord that was before him. And he was the only king that actually had the identity throughout history of being a priest first and a king second, although people saw him as a king. And then that is what is prophesied, that through Jesus and the new covenant, this new bride, this new tribe of people will emerge as a Davidic people. Not a Solomon people, not an Abraham people, not a Moses people, a Davidic people. I will restore the fallen tabernacle of David. Your heart would be a tabernacle and your life would be a royal priesthood, a kingly authority that is rooted in your devotion as a priest before the Lord. That you would be grafted into this place of priesting before God and then walking in the authority of kings. And I use Revelation chapter 5, the inheritance in the last days, which is the inheritance of Jesus Christ being extended to the church. It is the inheritance that's being given is, and you will be kings and priests, and you will rule and reign upon the earth. And this is the authority of you will be kings and priests. And what? You will rule and reign upon the earth. Everyone say rule and reign. So we understand that this whole priesting before God in worship is a part of our identity as kings and priests before the Lord. But there's a promise there that says, and you will rule and you will reign upon the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 20, I want you to go and make disciples, teaching them of all nations, teaching them everything I've taught you. Amos 9:11 says that, and I will restore David's fallen tabernacle, and then and you will be witnesses through all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It says in Acts 1:8, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will become apostolic witnesses, and you will become witnesses of me in all the earth. Guys, this is your identity, is to rule and reign and make disciples of nations and to lead movements where you're grafting souls into the kingdom and becoming and carrying the ministry of reconciliation upon your heart and your life. It's the call of God on you to do this. And where do we do it from? We do it from the posture of a priest before the Lord, to worshiping the Lord. And I want to, this morning, I want to talk about how does worship cause you to rule and reign? How does worship equate to authority in the midst of situations? Because after the inheritance is given in Revelation chapter 5, they begin to crack open the scroll, the seven seals of the scroll, and then all of a sudden, all this destruction and famine and murder and division starts getting released on the earth. And we go, oh, what a timeline of the last days. Things are about to get dark around here, right? What if I were to tell you that the inheritance is not the disease and the death, it's not just a promise, the events, it is actually the events that will unveil your identity. It says you will be kings and priests and rule and reign upon the earth. And when death and disease and disaster comes, you will rule and reign in the midst of it. You will not be subject to it. You will rule and reign in the midst of it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Solomon builds the dream of David's heart. He takes all the gold, all the wood, all the cedar, all the silver, and all the jewels, and he has all the blueprints that his dad David gives him. And he builds Solomon's temple. And he goes into the house of the Lord, right? And all the priests, without division, begin to sing, "You are good and your love endures forever." And a cloud of glory fills the room and fire falls from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. You guys remember this story? And on Solomon's Temple Mount. And everyone falls on their faces in the midst of the glory of the Lord. And then what is it? It says that when Solomon retires to his room, the Lord visits Solomon and says to him, "Solomon, because you've built for me a house of sacrifice, because you've built me this place, you've built me a house of worship, because of that, when pestilence and famine and sword come upon the land, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land." He makes a promise, because you made a place for me, because you create a place to preach before me, whenever these things come in the land, I'll give you authority over it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you carved out a place of preaching before me, I'll give you authority over the destruction that comes on the land. There will be wars and famine that arise in our time, and you will not come under it. But if you build me a house of sacrifice, I will give you authority over it. You will be kings and priests, and you will rule and reign upon the earth. This is a part of your identity, to be a victorious bride that rules and reigns upon the earth. So how does priesting lead to that place of authority? Go with me to Psalm 68. I want to show you, laid out here in the Psalms, a Psalm of David. I mean, so David had it understood. He had it figured out. David gives us the very key of understanding to the thing that we are walking his identity in now. Psalm 68, verse 1, it says, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish in the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before the Lord. Let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah. And rejoice before him. For a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, this is who God is, his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in family, and he brings out those who are bound in prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land." What I want to present to us this morning, because we're not just talking about corporate worship movements. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about you carving out a house of worship in your own heart. I'm talking about you building a house of sacrifice upon your own life. I'm talking about you getting in your car when things have been mounting against you, and you shouting to the Lord, not a cry of despair, but a cry of praise before the Lord. What does it release? I'm talking about when your family's going through something and you go, "Enough is enough." Is it like, "God, where are you?" Or is it going to be, "Extol him who rides on the clouds. Sing his name. His name is Yah, the one who is holy and glorious. What is your posture going to be? Are you going to build a house of sacrifice that gives you authority in the midst of difficulty? Or are you going to come under the scenario and create a prayer movement that is actually motivated by your belief in your lack? The prayer movement cannot thrive off of the despair and the belief that we are lacking something. It's got to come from the revelation of who he is, which, guys, that is what worship is. It is the acknowledging of the beauty, the majesty, and the glorious strength of Jesus Christ and the Father of heaven. It's when our eyes behold his beauty and we acknowledge who he is, this is when we enter into worship. Worship literally means to lick the hand of your master. Like a dog that comes up and acknowledges you're my master and licks your hand. Worship is, you go, oh, that's weird. We're licking the hand of Jesus. Calm down. What it is, it's like a dog will acknowledge, you're my master and I'm here to serve you. Is the same as every believer acknowledging in every moment, it's not my life, it's not my wants, it's not my needs, it's all about who you are. You driving through the snow this morning because you are so hungry for Jesus, you are worshiping the Lord in the very act of getting out of your comfort zone and pushing against the odds because I serve you and I love you and I want to be with you and I want to be in the house of the Lord. Your heart was radiating the fragrance of worship off of your life literally as you're driving. It's in the moments where you deny yourself and go, there's a greater kingdom and a greater cause. It's not my needs. It's not my wants, but all for your glory, Jesus. And I'm denying myself this. There is a fragrance from your heart that's arising before heaven. God, as we've heard it said many times, God doesn't speak English or Spanish or, you know, or French. He speaks heart. He smells the fragrance of worship that comes off of your life. It comes up before him like an incense that arises before the throne that moves his heart. A pleasing aroma before the Lord. Worship is when you deny yourself and acknowledge your master, who he is, how holy and glorious and worthy of your life he really is. This is worship. And this is why when we sing, be lifted up, there's a fragrance rising up because your tongue is matching the truth of who he is as you gaze upon him. That's why it's worship. It says in Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, you are holy, enthroned upon the praises of Israel. You know, one of the things we have to understand is that worship builds a throne for God. Worship builds a throne that he sits upon the thrones of the praises of his people. I want you to imagine a worship movement coming out of a church. What is a worship movement doing coming out of a church? It is building a throne for the King of Kings to sit upon. And when the king is sitting on his throne, what is the king doing? He's ruling over his dominion. When the king is on his throne, guess who's victorious? The king who sits on the throne is victorious. He is the King of glory, strong and mighty, mighty in battle, enjoying all that belongs to him as the king who sits on his throne. When there is a people that is exalting the Lord and worshiping, he is exalted, sitting upon the throne. Righteousness and truth are the foundations of his throne. Fire and love go before him. I want you to imagine what worship is doing when we're building a throne of praise for the Lord. What's happening? Let God arise and his enemies be scattered, right? I don't know what happened, what message went out into the church. I don't know what got created, what idea, what concept it was, but we got really obsessed with doing some weird stuff to get rid of principalities and powers. I mean, it got near witchcraft, friends. I've seen some weird mumbo jumbo come out of the church when it comes to dealing with principalities and powers. I got news for you. You want to deal with a principality and power? You build a bigger one. Let God rise and his enemies will be scattered. You want to deal with a principality and power? Build a principality and power that every knee has to bow before and every tongue has to confess and every other god has to confess that he is the one true God and come into alignment with his will and his purpose. where Jesus has a throne and he is exalted as the King of Kings upon the praises of his people, who's being acknowledged for rightly being who he is. Guess what? Guys, Dagon and every other god and every other territorial spirit and the religious spirit, the spirit of poverty, whatever spirit you want to acknowledge, the spirit of Jezebel, can't hang out where the King of Kings is sitting on his throne. It can hang out when everybody else is trying to figure out who the King of Kings is and they haven't built a throne and they can't acknowledge who Jesus is in a crowd of a bunch of other demons. That's why Jesus said, I want you to, he said, there's once a day coming that you will worship me in spirit and in truth. Right? Because you will see me rightly. I will unveil the truth of who I am. And you will gain access by the Holy Spirit to seeing the Father. There's a day coming that from the Spirit you'll worship me in truth because you are all blinded by the law right now. And there's a day coming that veil will come off and in the Spirit will dwell inside of you and you will have direct access like the tabernacle of David to be kings and priests to access my heart and you will worship me in spirit and in truth. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Here's what I believe. I believe that when we carve out a house of sacrifice, a house of worship, a moment of worship in my life. If you need different language, a moment of worship in my life. When our response is to acknowledge the majesty and the beauty of Jesus, we could have sin and brokenness, and we could have addiction that's just like in suicide, that's just breaking out all of our community. I believe when the people gather together and they acknowledge the beauty of Jesus and the love of the Father and they exalt him, I believe that the spirit of suicide and the spirit of addiction begin to tremble and fear because the King is taking his seat on his throne and they will be driven out by the authority of Jesus where he's been exalted in a place. I believe that we can do judgment on hell and release the wrath of God against wickedness because we have built a place of worship. Addiction will come and famine will come and poverty will come and loss will come and witchcraft will come. But because you built a house of sacrifice, if you come before me and you turn from your wicked ways, I will heal the land. I will give you a position of authority in the midst of it. There are some spirits of the age that are at war with your family. Don't entertain it. Entertain the audience of one. Acknowledge the Lord Jesus. You'll begin to gain authority over that thing. Invite the presence of the Lord, not the presence of that lie that says that God is waiting or God is being slow. God doesn't care. You have to do something. Friends, listen. You didn't have to do anything except for believe in him. You don't have to do anything for your child to be set free. You don't have to do anything to get free of something. There's nothing that you have to do. You don't have to earn it. Get that lie out of your head that will motivate an understanding of lack instead of acknowledging what's actually being given to you. It's available. Acknowledge him by gazing upon him and let God arise and his enemies will be scattered. I could tell you story after story after story of moments that we understood this and we came together. One of my favorites is one night the Lord began to speak to me about a spirit of Delilah that was being allowed in our area. And there's a lot of pornography shops that was in the area. There was a lot of, there was that topless cafe that got started in Norwich Walk and it was just like getting weird around here. And so I gathered everyone together one night to start worshiping Jesus and declare him as the King of Righteousness over Waterville. And I just began to invite all of our whole team. We did it for 4 straight days. But in the first night that we got together, I started worshiping the Lord. And I said, guys, we're not going to ask the Lord to do anything. We're just going to declare who he is. The first night we got together, the next morning a news article came out that the topless cafe in Norwich Walk had burned to the ground that night. What? Oh, it's Vassalboro. I'm sorry, I get those two mixed up. It's Vassalboro. It burned to the ground that night. And like they didn't, it was like literally at the moment where they didn't have insurance. And so they weren't able to rebuild it and nobody was hurt and nobody, they couldn't get the finances together. And we had actually gathered that night to pray, Lord, let your righteousness just come. King of Righteousness, come and put your feet down in Waterville. And guess what? He did put his feet down in Waterville, and he demolished something in the process of it. You know, we started doing this every night, and like literally one night we got together, and then the next day the FBI raided an auto body shop on Water Street that had been doing child sex trafficking out of it, and boom, it got exposed one night when we gathered to worship the Lord over our city. We did it another night one night, and the next day this whole thing got exposed about a pornographic ring that had been run out of a basement that had a P.O. box in Massachusetts, but was actually all founded in Waterville and had been exposed, was being run out of town and wasn't there anymore. You know, like all these things started happening. Why were they happening? Because I believe that all these things will come upon a city, but you will rule and reign in the midst of it. And how do you rule and reign as a king? By wearing the garment of a priest and coming and ministering before the Lord Jesus and building a throne, and he will wage war against his enemy. Amen? Okay, here's the second thing that I want to point out in this passage. It says, sing to the Lord, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, this is who God is in his holy habitation. The other word, you know, in that where it says God's enthroned upon the praise of Israel, the other word for enthroned is abide or a dwelling. It's creating a habitation. Our praises not only build a throne, but they create a dwelling place for him to dwell. Our prayers, I want you to imagine your prayers are a place for the King of Kings to rest his head. It's a place not only of war, where the king goes to war, but it also is a place of rest where the Father has a home. And I don't know about you, but I want the dwelling of the Lord in my city. I want the Father to lay his head down here. I want the Lord to rest upon this place. Why? Because he's a father to the fatherless and he's a defender of widows. This is who God is in his holy habitation. When God has a dwelling place, he's a father to the fatherless and he's a defender of widows. He will wage war against topless cafes, but he will father orphans. He will wage war against institutions of darkness, but he will be a father to orphans and he will be a defender of widows. He will remove drug rings, but he'll go after drug dealers with comfort in his wings. He will heal the brokenhearted. And I don't know about you, but there's a bunch of broken people all around. And we need the Father to come and be a father to the fathers, a defender of widows. We need him to show up and heal marriages and to restore families. And we need him to heal the sick and to set the captives free. We need the Father to pursue the prodigal and to get out the fattened calf and throw a party as they're coming home. We need his presence to show up and to break in on people's lives. When someone comes in my city, are they gonna see a religion that's more concerned with the service? Or are they going to feel the presence of the Father's love and it soften their heart and break down all the brokenness and jagged edges of their heart and heal them? Is it going to cause a defense mechanism of I hate religion? Or is it going to go like, I don't know what it is, but I feel the love of the Father in this place? When they come in, are they going to have dreams where the Father's love ministers to them? Are they going to be tormented by demons because there's been no place for the presence of God to abide there? The father to the fathers, the defender of widows. This is who God is, his holy dwelling. I really believe that in the atmosphere of a worship movement, a worshiping community, I really believe that like God will show up on your life and make you the answer to this prayer. Like I actually believe that like in a city where there's like ongoing worship and the Lord is truly ruling and reigning over that city because of the priesting of the believers in that city, I really believe actually there won't be any homelessness or addiction there. Like I really believe it's the seedbed of a justice movement, because the people that are in his presence, they'll have such softened hearts to the brokenness of the world around them. They'll begin to answer the need and reveal the Father's love. They won't be too busy. They won't be too hard. They will be softened in the presence of the Lord and become the answer of the cry of the heart of God. I really actually believe that like God will begin to reveal himself in a way, in dreams, in visions, in healing families, in healing hearts. God will actually show up in a way in a city where there's an abiding, dwelling presence of the Lord through worship in a way that he won't do otherwise. Did you know the state of Maine just got, was called the number, it has the highest rate of child mental disabilities in the entire country. 1 in 4 children have mental disabilities in the state of Maine. Listen, I'm not a doctor, but I'd bet a lot of money on the fact that that isn't mental disabilities, but it's broken homes. I would put a lot of belief in a study that would go into the nature of broken marriages and broken homes and shame culture and poverty and addiction and how it's affecting children from the womb and creating what looks and appears as a mental disability. Listen, he's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. This is who God is in his house. We need the presence of God to show up in our cities. We need the presence of God to show up in our cities. I realize we're putting a lot of stock in judicial, things, and we're casting votes, and we get all up in arms about abortion and homosexuality, all that kind of stuff. But guys, he's a defender of widows and a father to the fatherless in his presence. We won't have an abortion issue or any other issue of social justice in our nation because he'll deal with brokenness that leads to these issues. Guys, this is a movement of the Holy Spirit, and it's birthed from the place of worship. This is my last one. It says, God sets the solitary in families, and he brings out those who are bound into prosperity. I believe that when we worship the Lord, he becomes visible. Some of you need an answer from the Lord, and you can't hear him. And what I want to present to you today is that you need to carve out a space of worship daily in your life and throughout your day, and even when you don't feel him, to start to worship him, because worship makes God visible. It says in John 3:14, it says, just as Moses lives at the fiery serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that all men would believe, for God so loved the world, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Literally saying, Jesus has to be lifted up so that everybody can see him. And they will understand that they are loved, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I believe worship makes Jesus visible. And I believe that there's an answer in worship for the things that are going on in your life, that God solves the issues. I believe that God gives the answers, but I really do believe you want to hear the voice of the Lord. Anybody want to like just begin to enter in deeper into the prophetic? Does anybody like want to hear a little bit more? Anybody want to resurrect their dream life? Does anybody? Okay, all right, okay. Well, thank God. I was like, oh, God, I got to do a whole nother sermon. Y'all can't get weird on me, okay? You're hungry ones. That's why you're here. Listen, I really do believe, like, carving out the space of worship, God becomes visible. Jesus becomes visible. Our eyes are open to him. And I really actually believe that as we enter into our lives, I believe that Jesus in your life will become visible. I think that you spend time in the presence of the Lord, people are going to smell the fragrance of heaven on you. I believe you will become an agent of salvation because Jesus in you has become visible because of the worship movement coming off of your life. You carved out a place, and Jesus has become visible in and through your life, and people are going to smell it on you. And they're going to come running because they're hungry. It awoke something inside of them. They want what you have. They want the fragrance coming from your life. And Jesus will become, I believe, this is why it says in Amos 9:11, and in that day I will resurrect David's fallen tent. And then what does it say? And then the remnant of Edom will come to the Lord. The remnant of all mankind, Jew and Gentile, will come to the Lord. The great harvest of souls will come in response to a worship movement. Listen, you will be kings and priests and rule and reign in the midst of it. How does that happen? How does worship lead to the authority of a king? It looks like let God arise and enemies scattered. A father to the fathers is a defender of widows. This is who God in his holy habitation. And it looks like he sets the solitary in families and he brings out captives into liberty. This is who God is in his presence. When the worship movement begins, his presence comes down. It invades that environment, invades that space, and authority gets released because you have built a place, a resting place for the Lord. This is a word for our church, but this is also a word for you in your life, for you and your family, for you and your spouse, to begin to carve out space and to begin to change the way we respond to the demands and the needs of life and the issues and the wars going on. It's like, guys, I feel like it's a message that's been preached until we're blue in the face. But when Jehoshaphat was surrounded by Ammon and Moab, what did he do? He cried out to the Lord and he says, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. He was worshiping the Lord. His eyes wasn't on the need. He's worshiping Jesus. He's worshiping the King of Kings. My eyes are on you. I'm acknowledging who you are, not who my enemy is. And then what did he do? He sent out the worshipers, leading the first. You are good and your love endures forever. What was the song that came out of the three Jews, out of the fire, when they were thrown in during the time of Daniel, thrown into the fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the song of Azariah comes out of the fire. You are good, and your love endures forever. In the midst of the flame, in the midst of being surrounded by my enemy, I will acknowledge your beauty and your majesty. When David came up against Goliath, what did he acknowledge? You're going to come against the king of the Lord's army? The hosts of heaven, he acknowledged the strength and the might of the Lord. And under his bravery was connected to his eyes were on the beauty of the Lord. In Psalm 27, what did David say? He said, although my enemy encamps around me, this is the one thing I will be confident in. And the one thing I desire is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life. To inquire in your temple. He goes, I'm at war, surrounded by my enemy, and all I want to do is to be in the presence of the Lord. We need a revelation. Even in that moment, he goes, I can't be a priest right now. I got to be a king, go to war. No, he's like, all I want to do is be a priest. And he goes, and now my head is lifted above my enemies, and I can see clearly. Listen. Guys, this is your identity. This is who you are. You want to succeed, and you want breakthrough, and you want to be an overcomer, and you want all these different things. You've got to let a worship movement break in and through your life and come out of your home and out of your life. You've got to be a David in the field and acknowledge the beauty and the majesty of Jesus until you believe it and you get it and you stand in confidence and your head is lifted above your enemies and you stand in the midst of the flame acknowledging the fourth man in the fire. This is who you are. This is where authority comes out of. Why don't you stand with me? You know, I believe there was a day throughout history where miracles were happening inside the church as a demonstration of God's nature to heal. And I believe that miracles are meant to be in every part of a church service. And we go for it all the time and we love it. But I really believe that there's coming a day where miracles will be for outside of the church, but inside the church will be for worship. I believe that because I believe that here you're to be a priest and it will provoke you to be a king outside of these walls. I believe there's a greater demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit coming through your life. But your places of public demonstration and public promotion will come in response to your place of private devotion and the worship movement created when no one's looking. One of the greatest victories of your life will be walking through something where you feel devastated or overwhelmed or discouraged. And you choose, let's have a moment of worship with the Lord. one of the greatest victories of your life is going to feel to be overwhelmed and to choose worship. I want to commission you today to be those that create a place of sacrifice, a place of worship, a place of his presence, to build a throne through your life. Come on, why don't you just hold out your hands before the Lord. Heavenly Father, this morning we acknowledge your glory. We acknowledge your presence. Father, this morning we acknowledge the beauty and the majesty of Jesus, the strength and the might of the King of Glory. We exalt the name of Jesus this morning. Come on, you might need to just start doing it right now. We exalt the name of Jesus this morning. God, we exalt the King of Kings, the Lordship of Jesus Christ right now. God, be high and lifted up upon my life. Be high and lifted up. God, be made visible upon my life, God. We exalt you, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, the King of the angel armies. We bless you this morning. We honor you, King of righteousness. Ancient of Days, we bless you. We honor you. The Holy One, only one worthy of worship, the only one worthy of praise, the only one. We bless you. Father, we ask you to open our eyes to see your beauty. You'd open our eyes to see the majesty. Open our hearts to receive understanding this morning. Hearts to be provoked and wakened by the beauty of Jesus. God, let worship movement come out of my life. Come on, just ask him. God, let a worship movement come out of my life. Not just when it's convenient, but at all times, let worship flow from my lips. At all times, not just when it's convenient, not just when the church is doing it around me, not just when worship music is on, but at all times, let worship flow from my life. Let worship flow from my life. Let worship flow from my life, Jesus. Let God arise as enemies be scattered. King of Glory, take your seat upon your throne, the throne of my praises. Rule over your enemies. Lord, I bless every person here, and they're rising up, they're lying down, they're coming in, they're going forth. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would just let that worship movement begin in every person. Let our homes and our lives be stained by the fragrance of heaven. Knowledge of God would just permeate from my life. My life, my character would radiate the beauty of Jesus. That everywhere I walk, you'd establish your authority through my praise. We bless you, we honor you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Bless you guys. Please stay tuned about tonight's service, if it's on or not. And make sure to sign up for prophetic teams in the back, and we'll have prayer teams at the front this morning. If you need healing in your body or you need encouragement, come receive from our prayer teams.
Thanks for listening to this message from Kingdom Life Church and Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit our website, klcmaine.com.